so that meeting connectivity into areas that traditionally perhaps did not have connectivity. So that's the backdrop. And then I'm gonna see how I do on technology and sharing my screen. Oh, it says host disabled participant screen sharing. So if somebody that's the host can allow me to share my screen, I will do that.
Let me see. I think I did it.
Okay.
Yeah, you're the co-host now too, Ron, so you should be able
okay. to do it. All right. Let's see. That's not me. Let's see here. Oh, here's me. And can you see that part of it so far?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see.
We can see the slide deck. Yeah, now that's better. That's
okay. Possible. Now is it good?
Yeah, that's okay. Really good.
Okay. So if you want to read the entire report, it's on the transportation page on City Council. And it's a fairly lengthy report, and it goes into much more minutia than it's really necessary for our discussion. So it took about 6 months for us to get to this point. I will try to provide you with detail when I can. And some of it, again, is a minutia. I can pull up some of the report when we talk, but it's rather lengthy and has a lot of things in it. We're not so worried. So what is the committee is Kate from Rosenbarger from District 1, Steve Vollen, District 6, Dave Rallo, District 4, myself, who's District 3, and then our deputy attorney helps us out with any legal issues that we need to make sure we don't run afoul of. So this is when we talk about sidewalk allocation. It's money from the Alternative Transportation Fund, which are parking fees and all. And each year, that allocates approximately $300,000 to about $340,000. And this is for new sidewalk construction, not repairs, which when I first started with the Common Council, it was kind of confused me a little bit, but this is for new construction. And each year it's only about $330,000. And the truth is, that's way too little. Later on, I'll comment that, well, I can comment right now. We're trying to get in negotiations if we're going to approve the lit amount that Mayor Hamilton is proposing, we're going to ask for bonding of $1 million more in building sidewalks. So some of the neighborhoods that are lower on the priority list will benefit from that if that happens. The traffic calming projects that are around are part of, it's about $50,000 out of the $336,000. And each speed bump ends up costing approximately $5,000 to install. So you can see that if there's traffic calming issues around the city, you can hardly get to any with the funds we have. The committee, we met a few times informally. I met with Mallory and I chatted with Beth Rosenbarger about, you know, what the ongoing process of developing the equity for the sidewalk allocations. And we met a few times, and officially we met December 9th and January 2nd. And in the past, planning and transportation through alternative transportation funds, hand department through community development block grant funds, and the city of Bloomington utilities related to perhaps stormwater. All those entities can have a contributing effect on sidewalk building and repair and modifications across the city. The new sidewalks, though, are only going to be confined to the $336,000. For instance, sometimes a new development goes in, and planning and transportation may, as well as the way the project is proposed, we may say, well, okay, that's cool. You're going to build this new subdivision over here, but you have to put a sidewalk in. So in that case, we'll get new sidewalks through that process as well. And it won't be part of the $336,000. So it ends up sometimes being a complex spread of funding sources that build sidewalks. In 92 is when this all started, that the sidewalk buildings became kind of evolved to that point where it was using alternative transportation funds. It's been doing it that way. We on the city council have had several discussions, either in public or informally saying, we don't have enough money for sidewalks. And so I think that was one of the reasons why we have asked for if there's going to be some bonds done in this latest round with the budget and with the lid increase, that the sidewalks are hopefully we're going to get a lot more money to help build some sidewalks where they're needed. Let's see. Can skip that one. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about the criteria now. One of the things also that's important to know is, so the sidewalks are not always built within one calendar year. So sometimes the projects, especially if it's a bigger one, there may be a design study done, and it may cost $10,000, it may cost $20,000. And then that might be 1 year, and because of the nature of the project, then it might not even get built until the next round of funding allocations. And that's not unusual, and that's just the way it works. Sometimes some of the initial designs come out and say, well, it's impossible to build it, or you could build it at a cost of, $500,000. And in that case, sometimes those projects may get waived off or put way down on the priority list, because, you want to make sure that we're building sidewalks. We're all asking to build sidewalks for as many people, to benefit as many people as possible. So what we did was with the metrics to look at building sidewalks, we changed the metrics. We added more metrics. During this last process, again, the city, Mallory, Rick Bile, and now I'm going to forget his name. A gentleman helped us do a LIDAR survey, which surveyed all the sidewalks that were missing and the ones that were in place. So this was the first time we had a comprehensive look at all the sidewalks in the city. And that was just fantastic, because all of a sudden now we could look at it. So not only did we double the amount of metrics used to objectively allocate sidewalks, the building of sidewalks, they were also weighted a little differently. So in 2021, in before, the criteria was, as you can see up on the screen, safety, road classification, pedestrian usage, like how many people might use that or how many people do, linkages from one neighborhood to another or from one neighborhood to, I don't know, College Mall or to a store, and the cost and feasibility, of course, has to be part of it as well. They were, I would say it was an objective process, but it really wasn't refined very well. And, you know, not to criticize anybody in the past, that's just how things evolve sometimes. So now the improved criteria, you can see it on the right of the screen. Walk potential density, population density. It was broken down walk to work, transit to work, such as bicycles, vehicle counts, street speed. I thought that was an important one for safety. Street width, which has to do with speed and safety. A percentage of renters in the area. A social equity score of racial characteristics of the neighborhoods and medium income. So that was really just an amazing doubling of the criteria, and it refined it in a way that made it much more possible to look at it and to try to be equitable in it, in the allocation of building new sidewalks. And I think everyone involved in the process was very happy. Not that, you know, everything's not perfect. We think that after this happens for a little while and this process goes through, you know, we may have to look at it and tweak it again and take a look. But indeed, we thought it was a great improvement. So let's see if I can do this. And pull up the, I'll show you what the allocations look like. Or maybe. Well, that's not the screen. All right. Let's see. No. For the technology challenged. Let's try another screen. Okay, here we go. So now I'm trying to get my cursor. I have two screens up in front of me, so I'm trying to get my cursor to come over here. Oh, there it is. So there's where you can go and find the report. Here's the two reports. This is 21 and this is 20. And you can see the report. Can you all see the report? Okay, thank you. So, and is it big enough for you to see? Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So this is kind of what we see as far as the city staff will, in planning and transportation, will look at things for us and pull all the numbers for us. So they do all the heavy lifting as well. So they look at that. And so then they give us a report, and it's the one that we're looking at right now. And it'll show that, you know, here was the allocation, here's how much they spent, there's the difference. To the right of it shows you the description of what was done. And last year, they spent $330,000. The project allocations that were not totally done would be one like this one. Like this one was designed and right away was looked at. So this one was finished, or at least I believe it was construction. Here's another design. There's another construction. So let's see if I can keep going. So on the 22 allocations, you'll see again that we funded construction, we funded design. And these are discussions that came again from planning and transportation, from the engineers, from any cost estimates that were done. So they provide us with this kind of a look-see. And the projects you see, I will scroll down in a moment before I end my explanation of this. They will, there's a list of projects that we have, and these are the ones that you see. These are the ones that were the highest scored using the objective criteria. And so they give us that kind of summary. There's a list of that. You can look at that at your own leisure, because there's more here than you need to see. There's the past criteria project. Here's our new criteria. Now, let's see if I can find the list. Here's some. I know I'm whizzing past these. Let's see if I can show you the list of all the projects. Okay, that's not in this report. Anyway, there is a total list of projects that are, it's probably about, I think it was 80 or 105 projects that were out there. And so the city planning and transportation scored about the first 10 of them that had the highest rationale for building them. And then these are some of the places that show the projects that were being built. I'm looking to see here. Okay, well, so that's that report. And certainly you can look at those and peruse those and, you know, take a look at what you think about that. And that's the allocations report and discussion of the criteria. So sure, any questions, I'm happy to try to answer them.
We have a question from Natalia.
Sure. Hi, Natalia. Sure, go ahead.
Up, I'm muted. Okay, cool. It's good to see you, Ron. Hey, I have a quick question. So, and maybe I just like am not, didn't follow along with it. So say like the 23 projects, there, you said that there's like a list of them that the city scores, like the city planning and transportation department scores. Of that list, is it kind of like an ordinance process where, say it's now, a full disclosure, we just got a new sidewalk on my particular block a couple months ago. But is it something where if my block was up, that I could go and like go advocate for it, like an ordinance? You know, like I can see where it's at and kind of plead my case to the people on the sidewalk committee.
During the public meetings of the sidewalk committee, the answer is yes. You could come and there's time for public comment. And then I forgot one part that, so these recommendations come from the sidewalk committee, and then the city council must look at that and approve the project. So you would have two opportunities. You could go to the sidewalk committee when they had a public meeting, and you could advocate for your area. And then you could also come to the city council meeting or Zoom in and have an opportunity to advocate. I will tell you, Natalia, though, honestly, the idea was to make these very objective. So you certainly could advocate and perhaps bring to light some more information that might make us think about that. But we tried to take out as much subjectivity in the allocation of the sidewalk funds for the projects as we could.
I see John Lawrence and then Jan Sorby. If there's other people, I'm not seeing you. I'm sorry, I'm just at the moment not seeing all the list of people.
Sure, thanks Cynthia for doing that.
Sure, can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. Hi John.
Hi Ron, thanks so much. Hey, maybe you should take your presentation down so we can all see each other.
Is that okay. Possible? Oh, absolutely.
I'm staring at your presentation and it's unnerving.
Oh yeah, sure. Perfect. Now let's see if I can do this. I think.
Unless you're not done with it.
If you just want to stop sharing.
Stop sharing screen, your screen.
Is the menu at the bottom you might see? Like mm-hmm. It says share screen.
Yep. You can tell that what happens at city council is somebody that's really good with this knows how to do it.
Or I could just use this info to hack into your PC for later on, so since I can see everything on your screen.
Just go to your Zoom and stop.
Now, where's the? Tell me where the sharing screen thing is.
It's at the bottom of your Zoom page.
You have to go.
I have to go to another page.
No, where the menus are. If you see like chat, security, participants, share screen.
He's not on his Zoom screen, so
go
to the bottom and hit your Zoom, the blue one? The blue one that has a little camera.
Oh, I can just do it. I can stop the screen, Ron, sorry.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go.
Oh, thank
sorry.
You.
Sorry, that's no what problem. You should have had.
So
I have to say that I forgot it was Mr. Stossberg that actually did the light, helped us do lots of the criteria in the LIDAR mapping, who looks like he's signed into the meeting as well. Mm-hmm. And thanks to Mark Stossberg for doing that and helping us out, because it was an immense help. So anyway.
So thanks so much, Ron. This, John Lawrence from Bryan Park, and thank you so much for this presentation. And don't take anything I'm about to say personally, because this is not aimed at you, but more about city in general. When I hear first, I think the amount of money that's allocated to council to do sidewalks is way too small. I live in a neighborhood, Bryan Park, that has almost no sidewalks. We have them on our periphery. And I should probably walk them and count, but I wouldn't be shocked to find out that we have 2 miles of streets in our neighborhood that have no curbs or sidewalks. And then add to that, when I hear about the idea of annexation and we're going to annex property and you'll get city services. And I think we're going to put sidewalks and curbs out into the outlying areas when we can't even afford to do or have the political will to put curbs and sidewalks in our own neighborhood. Why would we do that? Now, I don't want to go off on an annexation diatribe here, but what I'm really thinking is Jan and I were in a meeting this weekend about a trail that's going to go through the city on the east side of Bryan Park, and it's going down Hawthorne And there was this, we had Susan Sandberg and Dave Rolo there. We had Dave Rolo and Isabel Piedmont Smith there, excuse me. And we were talking about how this should be planned. And some people brought up sidewalks and someone said, well, that'd be really expensive. And we were talking about safety. And we got into the whole conversation about the expense of sidewalks and why we don't put them in. And I remember very succinctly discussions in my own neighborhood with the city about putting in sidewalks. And the reason that we don't put sidewalks in is it's not the cost of the sidewalk, which is basically a strip of concrete, but it's because you have to put in all the ensuing structure. So you have to put in storm sewers, which is a huge expense. You have to dig anywhere from 8 to 20 feet down and then put the storm sewer lines in, connect to the existing structure out in the street. And so, I mean, I may be way off base, but I wouldn't be surprised if the cost of putting a sidewalk in versus the storm sewer might be 5% of the cost. And, you know, just laying a strip of concrete down. And the argument is that, well, we don't want to do that because someday we may want to come back and put in a storm sewer and we wouldn't want to have to rip out that sidewalk that we lay down. But I'm pretty confident that in a lot of places that those storm sewers may be 20, 30 years out in places in the city, particularly when you only talk about putting in a few blocks at a time. So we end up not putting in sidewalks and curbs, and we have places in our neighborhood that are swamped with water, and a curb would keep that water from swamping houses. We have people who put pumps in their kitchens. No exaggeration. We've had people that had sandbag to keep water out of their houses, and so whereas a curb simply could potentially move the water. Now, granted, some of those places, the storm sewer might be a necessity, but I guess I'm just throwing out to you, I'm lobbying you to say for the discussion with the city that maybe we should be thinking about putting down some sidewalks in places where we're willing to do it without that underlying substructure, because why should we have to wait 20 years for a sidewalk for something that the sidewalk itself might save lives?
Well, you know, since I'm not an engineer, I've never heard that question split that way. But I will ask those folks, and I will end up sending a note back to Steve with some kind of a reply on, can we do that? Because I don't know the answer to that, John, but I believe you, but I don't know that. You know, how much it costs of a sidewalk strip versus underlying structure. I just actually was just chatting with the folks from Park Ridge last night, and they're also having flooding issues. And it's not as simple of a fix. I'm on a city council and I'm not an engineer and all. And I try to figure out how can we address some of these issues for, you know, people like yourself. And so I will ask some of those questions, because your question is well taken about, there are certain areas of the city that need sidewalks that still don't have them. And we've been, at least the last couple of years when I've been on council, it's been acknowledged by all the members of the council that, yeah, we don't have enough money to build sidewalks. It's a pittance. $336,000 isn't going to get you very far. Mm-hmm. And it usually only gets the top four projects, maybe five, but usually only the top four out of, 60 or 80. So I'll check into that for you, and I'll send Steve a note, and he can send it out Or if you want, John, you can send me a note to my counsel.
Sure.
And then I'll reply back to you.
Okay. So, and I want you to know that I didn't put that out there as criticism of you at all. Yeah. I just know this from years of us dealing with this, where it's this sounds like a classic engineer thing. We need the belt suspenders, and we in the neighborhood have dealt with number of issues that are engineering, and you can imagine. And, an engineer is trying to make things perfect, but I'm confident, and I know that there are places where it doesn't make sense to put a curb or in a sidewalk up without that underlying structure. But there are plenty of places, just get people off the street and get them off to the side where they won't get run over. And that was the issue we were talking about the other day on Hawthorne.
Well, before we run away from flooding, when you send me a note, will you send me the name and the address of people that are putting pumps in their kitchen?
Yeah.
And I'll make sure that gets to the folks at the city.
Sure. That's been reported to the city for the last almost 20 years, but wow. we actually took Mayor Kruzan and all of his city staff on a tour of the neighborhood almost 20 years ago. I think it was about 15 years ago, and walked by that person's house and pointed. So anyway, it might come as news because there's been a lot of turnover in the last 20 years. But the person put sandbags in their driveway.
Yeah.
Hey, I I've actually seen that driveway that has the sandbags in it on Grimes Lane. Just jump in there real quick.
Different place, Steve.
Different place. Okay. Yeah. Well, there's one on Grimes Lane too, but, I just want to make sure that we capture the question that Ron is going to send back to us, because I would like, I like Ron's idea. Send it back to me, and that way I can share it with everyone that's on the call tonight. So the question was why not work on the sidewalks that don't need the massive infrastructure expense? Is that correct, John?
Sure. Well. Yes, that I was saying that the reason that we only end up doing three blocks or four blocks a year versus 20 blocks a year is because the city won't put a sidewalk without putting the massive infrastructure. And there must be places in the city where the sidewalk would solve problems of safety and water diversion without having to have the expense of the underlying structure. That's not going to be true everywhere, but there are plenty of places where that would be true.
Well, and I just want to point out, Jan was next, and then Peter. And I don't know if Steve still has a question after that.
Oh, yes, I do have a question after that, okay. But I'll wait my turn.
Okay, thanks.
So, I just since my name came up, I wanted to
that's
make sure that I understood what we were doing there.
Sure, yeah, thanks, Steve. Thank you. Sure. Janice, if you want to go ahead, I think it's your turn.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
John and I didn't coordinate this at all, but I do have some questions about neighborhoods that don't have any sidewalks at all within their interior, like Bryant Park. And we are 70% rental. And according to some of the criteria here, it seems like we should be getting at least looked at. So I was wondering.
I think you're going to be. In the future, I think you're going to be with the new criteria.
Good. So first of all, I want to sort of dovetail into what John was saying in terms of the sidewalks being put in, and we have to wait for the infrastructure of storm drains. Well, but at the same time, they require people, if they make major changes to their houses, or people that, add on whatever, or build new, to add a sidewalk, which that I agree, there's no problem with that. I think that's fine to make people add that sidewalk, but they don't have the storm drains. They don't have the underlying structure. So it seems to me that there's kind of a jaggedness here, where if you have to wait until the underlying structure is in, but yet they require people to put a sidewalk in. For example, on South Stall Street, Bloomington Restoration moved a house there, and we did major improvements, and we had to put a sidewalk in that just spanned that one property. Now there's no storm drain, there's no curb, there's no gutter, and that's a linkage to Templeton Elementary School. It is not a wealthy area.
You see, you see the comment from Mr. Stossberg in the chat?
No, I don't. Well, what's he saying?
It's the thank you, Mr. Stossberg, for objectively, Bryan Park ranks high for sidewalks. Good walk potential, nearby places to walk. So they are objectively high on the objective scale.
You know, I've always felt like our neighborhood, actually, I'm the board of BRI as an underserved area, not underserved, but a poor area. I'll just say it straight out, a poor area. And other than the new subdivision on South Dunn Street that was built about 17 years ago, our neighborhood is really, really poor. But I always felt like our neighborhood for the past 100 years has not been wealthy enough to receive attention. It's not been, you know, the very bottom to receive attention. So we're kind of the forgotten middle child in between. So I just wanted to talk about how a project is brought forward now with the new criteria. If you could step us through those steps that happens. Does somebody say, aha, somebody got in touch with me and there needs to be infill here? Or how does that happen, Ron?
Well, it used to be that's exactly how it used to be. It used to be that a lot of projects historically, so, and it certainly predates me, but if I understand it right, it used to be that, you know, Jan Sorby would contact Ron Smith, the city council representative, and say, we don't have a sidewalk in our neighborhood. And it would end up kind of getting on a list by that method, where people would notice it. And I'm sure the city was also identifying places as well. But there was more subjective matters brought into it that somebody would say, well, I need a sidewalk. So that's how it used to be. So now what's going on with the work that, you know, Mr. Stossberg did with the taking an inventory of all the sidewalks in the city, now the ones that are missing, where the potential for a sidewalk to be built, it's going to be scored on an objective about 10 criteria now. So there is a list, and I'm so sorry, I couldn't find my list. I could send that list to Steve. He can share it with you, but you'll see it's on I have a spreadsheet that'll show the list. And again, it's like 80 or 90 projects. And so now the list that will be generated will be lists that are through the inventory of the sidewalks in the city and the lack thereof. And so then they're going to be scored, and the ones that objectively score highest would likely, you know, it's not 100% until it gets proposed by planning and transportation, and then the city council approves it. But that's how they're going to end up going on to the list for sidewalks to be built now, because the objective scores will lead us there, as opposed to perhaps advocacy by citizens.
Can I jump in and ask a follow-up question, if you don't mind? I saw on the list here, one of them, the estimate said, I'm looking at my computer here, it said that it was too expensive to do it this time. So yeah. I can't imagine how expensive it's going to be to put anything on our interior streets. And what happens then if it's too expensive and it gets knocked down the list? What happens? Do you have to get a federal grant or what?
Well, in this case, we're advocating for, sounds like an official political explanation. We're advocating for a city to bond and sell bonds and put $1 million into sidewalks. And that is, there's no other way. You have to generate the money somehow to get, so they can fund it. So the alternative transportation fund, you know, only gets a certain amount of money because you only have that many parking meters or that many fees in a municipality this size. So you're only going to get a certain amount of money each year. And you're right. There was a South Walnut project that was, oh, is that the one you're talking about? Yep. The question that came in a discussion with transportation, sorry, with the engineering department and everybody was, well, we could build this one. And it would basically, I don't know, it was like $300,000 to finish it after it was designed, or we can kind of do five projects. And so that was part of our discussion at one point. And it was elected that we would do five projects that would spread out that, and that the South Walnut may, and I don't remember the update from the city engineering, they may be able to find other funds to complete that project, which is, again, it's that tapestry of different fundings from community development block grant, the utilities, sometimes developers that build sidewalks that if you add them all up, they're much more than $300,000 a year. But the only amount that we can control as far as the sidewalk committee allocation is that 336 or approximately that each year. So hopefully, you know, Jan, if you want, one of the things you can do, all the people on Kona, you can send a note to the mayor. You can send a note to the other city council members and say, we would love you to have some bonding for the sidewalks. The majority of the city council probably is going to say, oh, good, let's do that, because we all recognize we don't have enough money for it. I think I answered your question, but I was rambling there a little.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. It's been very patient.
Not at all.
Can you hear me? Peter. How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Okay, so Peter Dorfman, I'm just finishing my second year as president of the Neighborhood Association in the Near West Side. So I just want to describe the Near West Side very briefly, and then I'll raise the issue that I wanted to talk about. Near West Side was laid out, about the 1900s or teens. Many of the streets are very narrow. The street I live on is 23 feet wide. We have sidewalks on most, if not all, of the east-west streets. A couple of them have just been renovated at the city's expense, which is nice. On north-south streets, sidewalks are very much the exception in our neighborhood. We have them on Maple, which is a major walkway. We have people who walk up Maple and then over to Fairview to go to the Fairview School. We have them on Fairview itself. And in general, on the interior Northwest streets, sidewalks, as I say, are kind of an exception. The issue, so that's the background on the neighborhood. The issue that I wanted to bring up is this requirement that the city has that if someone builds something new, they have to build a sidewalk. I know of at least one lot in the neighborhood that was previously owned by somebody else who had plans to build a house on it. Gave up on those plans because the city was going to make him build a sidewalk. And the sidewalk would have gone from 7th about halfway down Elm and then stop. It would just dead end at an alley. So he sold that property to someone who actually did build a house and is now looking at a requirement that he build a sidewalk. And that, you know, the topography in the Near West Side is such that many of these north-south properties, if you want to build a sidewalk, you're going to have to build a retaining wall as well. So the cost that he's had estimated is about $30,000. So that's a tough thing to swallow. We have a new application on Kirkwood by someone who wants to build on a house on the corner of Kirkwood and Jackson. Jackson is another north-south street that has no sidewalks. They've applied for a variance so that they don't have to build a sidewalk, because the situation would be the same. They'd build a half-block sidewalk, which would just end at pretty substantial cost to them. Is there a consistent way out of this requirement for owners of these properties? I will tell you that there is the neighborhood association here. Like I said, I've only been involved with it for a couple of years. It has confronted this situation multiple times and has never been in support of that requirement, and would like to know if there is a way of supporting a homeowner who does not want to build the sidewalk.
I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head, but I will check into that for you. I tell you what, I'll do the same thing. I will find out an answer to your question, and then I will send the answer to Steve and let him distribute it, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that work? Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. You know, the sidewalk whole thing is a really tough one, because we all want, you know, like in Bryant Park, you want sidewalks, and perhaps, you know, in the Near West Side, you want sidewalks. I think it's a really tough one. Like, if people are building it, should it be their responsibility to build the sidewalk that's a public advantage? I don't know the answer to that. I'll just have to check into it and find out what kind of site is in there and from the city regulations and let you know, because I don't know the answer to that. Good, you know, it's a good point. I don't know. If I was building a house in the Near West Side, I'm familiar with the Near West Side, and there was not a sidewalk there, and a city wanted me to, required me to build one, I probably wouldn't be very happy either.
It actually ties into a larger issue in the way the city pays for development or manages development. There are lots of things that are infrastructure issues that anyone who wants to develop is expected to pick up the tab on.
Right.
There has been in place a plan for West Kirkwood that was laid out by a couple of architects, Jim Rosenbarger and Mark Cornett, 20 years ago, suggesting that West Kirkwood should become more of a mixed-use, high-density corridor. And what we have learned over just the last year is that that would require, in order to have anything more than the little houses that we have stretching from Rogers to Adams, in order to have anything bigger, the water infrastructure needs to be upgraded, because larger structures, anything bigger than a duplex, would require a sprinkler system. And the water structure out west of Maple will not support that. Uh-huh. And the city has no plans to do anything about it. They have let developers know that if they want to build anything bigger than a duplex out that way, it's going to cost them a six to seven figure expense to do the water infrastructure.
To do the infrastructure for the water, huh? Wow.
So there are a number of instances like this where if the city really wants development, they're going to shove the cost onto the developers, or in the other two cases that we've been talking about, individual property owners. You know, and these are not, you know, landlords who want to build multi-use or multi-family structures. In both of the cases that I described, it's somebody who built a house to live in.
Yeah, I hate to jump in, but because I have such a relevant comment to that.
I'm sorry. There's a lot of people waiting already, John. There's like Steve, then Liz or Paul.
Kathleen. That's
fine. I'm so sorry. But if we're trying to get everybody in, so I know this is a interesting topic for people.
John, if you would like, put your question in the chat and I will record it and send it to Ron with the other questions.
And I don't know if people saw, but Mark had typed in that on the Bike Ped Commission, we heard from city staff, they were trying to get rid of the sidewalk to nowhere requirement. But anyway, I'm not sure who's next. I think it goes Steve, Paul, or Liz, and then Kathleen. But if we could keep in mind that there are a lot of people with questions too.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm up next, Cynthia?
Yes.
Okay. And my question is not nearly as good as everybody else's. It was one of the first things that you covered, and I think it might have clicked with other people, but you made mention of a speed bump costing $5,000, and I know that's not the case. You know, it's kind of like some things that you hear about cost this amount of money, but they included so many other things that... that's what made it so expensive. So I just wondered if you could just kind of like iron that out, and it might help other people understand other issues with the spending.
I'm not sure I understand what your question is. The $5,000, that's what I've been told that to get a speed bump installed is about $5,000 a speed bump.
Well, when we have a speed bump someplace, we usually have four speed bumps, you know, three or four leading up to that point of in the traffic pattern where we need people to slow down. So are we saying $5,000 for all three of them or four of them? Or are we saying that the $5,000 is?
Well, what I was told early on was that it's, for traffic calming, it's about $5,000 a speed bump.
Yeah.
And you know, Steve, perhaps that's erroneous. I don't know. That's just the number that I was,
given. My question is it $5,000 per bump or is it $5,000 per situation where we need the traffic calming?
Okay. Well, that's, yeah. I'll ask Mallory about that. Mallory's
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Liz. Thanks.
Okay, am I on now?
Yes.
I've got two things I want to say, and one of which I know what the costs are because I'm a numbers person and I've been on BRI's Affordable Housing Committee since 1998, and I know exactly how much those sidewalks cost. The first thing I want to bring up is about annexation and promises of city services that were made to neighborhoods. Broadview Neighborhood Association 20 odd years ago, I think 22 years ago, was promised when they were annexed that they would get sewers in to that neighborhood. At that time, the neighborhood was about 50% septic system and 50% hooked onto the city sewers. It is still 50% city sewers and 50% septic.
Yep.
So
is this about sidewalks, Liz?
What?
Is this about the sidewalks?
Two things. I brought up, this was number one, and then I'm going to bring up sidewalks the second. I just want to bring that up. Annexation does not necessarily mean you will get the services promised. Number one. Number two,
sidewalks. So I voted against it.
Number two, sidewalks. I have been on BRI's Affordable Housing Committee since 1998. I have been BRI's treasurer and unpaid bookkeeper, and treasurer since 2006, unpaid bookkeeper since 2015. I actually see the numbers of how much the sidewalks actually cost with infrastructure as if it would hook up to something like city stormwater and curbs and everything else. And it's $5,000 for the front of a house. If a house sits on a corner and it's not a long house, it's if it's just like a regular one house, then it's $10,000 because it's $5,000 on one side and $5,000 on the other. If you happen to have a ranch style house that is long and skinny, that will cost $15,000. BRI has been charged with affordable housing to do the sidewalks in front of these, a lot of our houses, which have been in the Near West Side, Prospect Hill, some in McDowell, where there weren't sidewalks or infrastructure with the sidewalks. And we have built them without any problems, but it has eaten into what we actually make, because we have to pay our executive director to oversee the contractors to make sure they do everything right for affordability. And the last two projects BRI did, we made no money. We still had to pay our executive director. So in essence, we lost money. Our last project was on Smith Avenue.
Could you just get to the question, Liz?
I want to express we were being required to put a sidewalk in front of Smith, and there was no sidewalk anywhere on Smith. And we ended up selling it to somebody who would do a market rate for renovation. I'm telling you that it is expensive to do $5,000 for the front of a house, and if you sit on a corner, $10,000 for a house to have a sidewalk. Some places are down a hill and you would have to put a lift, which would be $15,000. So I don't know what you need to do, but there seems to be some sort of equity that needs to be put in there to look at what can be afforded or what cannot be afforded when requiring these sidewalks. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you want a question, Ron, or do you want to respond? Or I feel like we kind of covered that with Peter. Kathleen, you've been really patient. And then I think John and Natalia.
Hi, Kathleen.
Kathleen, you're muted. You're muted, Kathleen. We can't hear you.
Sewing a prom dress, so I'm trying to multitask here. I think Mark may have addressed it. Dr. Huffman, who lives out on 45 toward Unionville, right at the bend by Mount Gilliard Road, petitioned, asked for a waiver to not put in a sidewalk, and it was a long struggle. I listened to it on Zoom, and because his sidewalk goes nowhere, he decided to put a fence around it. So you really can't access the sidewalk. If you drive out that way, you just notice the sidewalk is on the inside of the fence that he has, and it goes nowhere. But he, tried to get the variance, wasn't able to get the variance. He's now moved from that property and someone else has to deal with it. But yeah, that's the ridiculousness of some of the rules that we have. So I'm glad to hear that Mark's trying to get that changed. Sidewalks that go to nowhere. I petitioned on the corner of 3rd and Smith, catty corner from St. Thomas Lutheran. The woman who bought that property for her harp studio also was required to put a sidewalk in. It hasn't happened yet. I said that if I had a granddaughter biking down Smith Road and then turning on the sidewalk, it goes right into a ditch. There's no possibility of putting a sidewalk there. So yeah, I mean, rules are great, but there are always exceptions to rules. So that was my only comment. No question.
And John, yeah. I know you've had your hand up. Thanks. But since you already had a question, maybe Natalia could go first. Is that okay?
Thanks, Kathleen.
John, I promise I'll be quick. And it's really just a kind of more of a comment or something. If you could follow up, Ron, on this, that would be great, right? So Ron and I served on a committee with United Way, and I promise this goes to sidewalks, around people experiencing homelessness. And one of the things that we did is we looked at other cities and we saw they were doing it. And one of the cities I studied was Norman, Oklahoma. And one of the things that Norman did is they were very aggressive with community development block grants. And I know that there are some members of the administration on this Zoom right now. And I'm wondering, Ron, if we or if city councils ever asked. So my understanding of CDBG block grants is that if you don't use the money, you lose it, which it's like, that's so silly. Like, it's federal money, right? Why would any cities not use it, right? Well, there are cities who don't use it, or there were cities in Oklahoma who didn't use it. So I'm wondering if we could be, as a city of Bloomington, more aggressive to have more money. So, I mean, I think it's a great idea that you're thinking outside the box about bonding and stuff, but why aren't we kind of making sure that not only do we get our money, but if any other municipality isn't using theirs, just like Norman identified, that we don't also leave money on the table in that regard too. So that's something that the sidewalk committee could kind of push the administration on to kind of say, is any of that money available so that we can claim it, since we're so engaged with that? Because what they did in Norman is they had meetings like this and they wanted to identify projects that residents like were concerned with. And I think that that would be something nice for Bloomington too. So if you're looking into things, Ron, I offer that too, is if the administration can be more aggressive looking for any more community development block grant money like Norman did.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all, Natalia. And we have, several of us on the council have been saying, you know, of course we need to look for any available funds for either social service issues or sidewalks. But honestly, in about the last year or so, we have been talking about how do we get more money to help build more sidewalks in the city because of the ones that are missing. And I'm going to cross my fingers and hope that the bonds that the mayor's proposing, one of our council members, Isabel Piedmont Smith, has suggested that we have kind of reallocate some of those bonding and make $1 million for the sidewalks. And I thought it was a fantastic idea. And so hopefully that's going to happen, because yeah, there's certain things in the city that are hard to fund, and there's not even much federal funding. And then it's up to the administration sometimes to research and find those. And, you know, as a city council member, I honestly don't know if there are other available funds, like you said, like Norman may have gone for. I don't think I know the answer to that. I serve on the Community Development Block Grant program with you, and sometimes we do get some extra money at the end of the year after the allocations of, there might be a little extra come in for Jack Hopkins or Community Development Block Grant. And I don't know if that's a function of it wasn't used in some other city or not, but that's happened a couple times now, and then it gets allocated to the agencies who have applied in the city. And I'm not really sure where that money, why that ends up coming, if it's a little additional money. But certainly, I'm happy to ask some of the folks at the hand department about that and see what they have to say.
Well, I don't want to keep us too long. There's John, Aaron, and Angela, and Jan again. And I don't know if Angela had a response about the block grants or not.
She might. Yeah.
I did. Yes, I did.
Thank you.
So I don't know what the situation is with Norman, Oklahoma, but I can tell you Bloomington is what's called a entitlement community. That means, according to HUD, we are an entitlement community because we have more than 50,000 residents. So if a community with a population of more than 50,000 gets to administer their own CDBG money. So that's why HAND administers money for the city of Bloomington. Any community within Indiana or any other state that's smaller than 50,000, that money is allocated and administered through the state. So Norman, it may be a situation where that it's a smaller city. And so any money left over, it's in a bigger pot, where the state has control over that. I don't know how funds are allocated, if it's based on population or what that is, but I can certainly find out some more information about that. I don't know how we get the amount of money that we get. So, Norman, but you are correct. Sir, go ahead.
Norman is where OU is, so it's
a big town, big city.
Okay. We're about the same size, like our county and city. We're not that far off.
Okay. All right. Well, then we'll check into it and see what the situation is in terms of how money is determined. And you're right. If we don't use it, we do lose it. That is correct. So thanks. Okay.
So thanks, we have Angela.
Three people left: John, Aaron, and Jan. So go ahead, John, and then Aaron, then Jan.
Okay. By the way, sorry, Cynthia. I ran this organization for a number of years, and I'm seeing people jumping in out of order. So my apologies for earlier. But I wanted to respond to one of Peter's issue about the sidewalks to nowhere. We have one in our neighborhood that Jan was mentioning at a BRI project. They're on a block where there's no sidewalk, and then the city required them to put, 60 feet of sidewalk in front of the house. Well, that goes back to my earlier point about the fact that the city won't pour sidewalk without infrastructure under it. But the idea of the city requiring people to pour the sidewalk in front of their house if they're doing a development is that with the idea that those sidewalks might eventually connect. But the odds of everybody having to, one after the other, pour their own sidewalk is almost infinitesimal. So which means the only way the sidewalk is going to end up on that block and therefore making that sidewalk useful is for the city to come in and put a sidewalk in. And the only way they'll do it is to put infrastructure in, which means they will tear that sidewalk out that they made that individual pour to be able to put that infrastructure in, to put that storm sewer in. So that even makes the idea of having the individual pour sidewalk in front of their individual house kind of obscure, not making a lot of sense, because it doesn't function very well as just a sidewalk in front of that person's house, and it will never link up to the rest of the block, because the only way that would happen is if the city would come along and pour sidewalk, which they, in that situation, they would have to tear that out, put that in.
So I would ask you, do you know that has happened, John? And do you have a specific instance where that has happened?
Where what's happened exactly?
Just what you described.
Well, I know plenty of examples where the city's made people pour a sidewalk in front of their house. Do I know of the city making someone tear it out? No, because generally those pieces of sidewalk are on streets that have no sidewalk, and the city basically doesn't go along and put sidewalks where there are no sidewalks. They do a lot more replacing of broken sidewalks than they do putting sidewalks in the city where there weren't sidewalks previously. That's always been an irony to us, is that we hear about people in the city getting their sidewalks replaced or repaired because their sidewalks were broken. We've always had a little bit of a chuckle about it. It's like, well, at least those people had sidewalk. I've heard of a lot more situations where people had broken sidewalks replaced than I've heard of new sidewalks poured in the city where the sidewalks didn't exist. End of story.
Thank you. Sure. Deftha, did you want to comment on, I'm sorry, you put something in the chat box. Did you want to have something to say there?
I don't have a question, but I just wanted to make sure that this group knew that there's a cross-departmental group within the city that's looking at how might we more equitably and sustainably create and maintain our sidewalks, and there will be opportunities for residents to be involved, just like what we did with the leaf management in the last 2 years. And if you would like to be involved in that, then I've got the project page listed there and it's got my contact information.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen,
you have been so patient.
Hi, my name is Erin Mordo. I'm a newer-ish homeowner on the east side and a very new board member. I actually thought tonight's meeting was about trees, but this has been very educational about sidewalks. So thank you for all of that. My question was just that, and I apologize if I maybe missed this in the presentation. I'm just a healthcare worker working late. Is there a differentiation between the multi-use paths and the sidewalks when you were talking about putting these things in? Because we did have a multi-use path in the last couple of years put up, which has really been great. A lot more access to getting down the big hill on Rogers. And I also feel a lot safer on it. I have someone who was hit by a car 3 years ago when I was walking on a sidewalk and crossing at a stop sign. So I didn't know if that made a difference or if there are any more projects like the multi-use paths that might be helpful. Because obviously paying for things is a big thing people have talked about tonight.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to exactly respond, but yeah, they're certainly different. They're a whole different animal. Okay. The multi-use paths there's an idea, at least in Bloomington, that we try to encourage more multi-use paths so people can get out of their cars. So there's a whole different, I don't know if there's anybody from planning and transportation on this call, but it's a whole different animal to think about and how to develop it and what you need to do. And I'm not privy to all the rationale for that. So,
Erin, we had our March meeting was with the Greenways people talking about that. And we just don't have the recording posted, but I'll let you know. Those are some things we're kind of struggling with. And once we get the meetings online, I'll send that out.
Thank you.
I think Jan is going to be our last question. Did you have your hand up or you just didn't take it down, Jan? She had her hand up. Okay, that's going to be our last question, I think.
Thank you.
Okay. I just wanted to respond. Natalia was talking about other kinds of grants out there. And several years ago, the city, a group of McDowell moms and people in Bryan Park worked together and applied for a federal grant for safe routes to school. And I think, you know, that was pretty obscure then, but we dug it out, we found it, and we applied for it, and the city partnered. And that's how we got the sidewalk on Henderson going to Templeton. And so that said, I mean, I'll try and spend some time, but I think there are other grants out there. That was a really obscure grant, but it funded, I think it was a matching grant with the city, but there was no way they could put that project in without that kind of a grant. So that said, I think, Ron, there are some more obscure grants out there with federal funds for, I think about the green infrastructure money that's been proposed. And, you know, couldn't we use some of that for sidewalks and side paths and things of that nature? So anyway, that's all. I just wanted to add my 2 cents that I think, Natalia, they are out there. It's just that we have to dig them up.
Yeah. And I'm a city council member, but I will tell you, in my couple of years on the council, the city staff are pretty diligent and they do look for things to fund whatever we're looking to do in this city. Are there grants that maybe they, you know, didn't see? Well, probably, but they work really hard at it, and I have great respect for them. And if you would know of a grant that would help, you know, the city, or I would encourage you to contact, you know, the hand department or planning and transportation, and, you know, give them some information on it. City staff, they're pretty diligent and good group of folks who really work hard at doing what they're doing. So that's my take on it. And anyway, okay. I appreciate being here, and I'll send some notes out to some city staff, and when I get a response, I'll send a note, the responses back to Steve, and then he can distribute them. And I appreciate it. I hope that this was a productive conversation, and that you learned a little bit about what we try to do with the sidewalk allocation process.
Thank you so much for your time, Ron. I can tell by how many people came and all the questions that this was really interesting to people. The way we changed Kona meetings a little bit, that after the presentation time, we just have a little bit of a meeting. I didn't set out the meeting notes. I put them up in the chat. So we'll, I guess, adjourn this part of the meeting now. And thank you very much. If anybody would like to.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
And I appreciate it. And good to see you again, Don. You take care of yourself. All right.
Very good.
So if anybody would like to stay on for some Kona business, that would be great. And if people have suggestions for upcoming programs, May is where we're going to be on with trees. So that I think when I reached out to Aaron, I said in May we're having trees. But anyway, so we're going to approve the minute. So is there does anybody have any corrections or suggestions or discussions on the meeting minutes from last March, the previous one? Can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
I move that we approve the minutes.
Thank you, Liz. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Should we vote?
Aye.
It looks like the minutes are approved. And then Liz, is there anything you wanted to report on for the treasurer's report, which I also uploaded?
No, it's just our usual few cents of interest that we get.
Okay. So is there a motion to approve the treasurer's report? Oh, did you have a question or are you motioning to approve? Natalia?
I have a quick question. I was just wondering if the Near West Side dues were...
you were going to ask that. Natalia, I have been looking every month for the last 4 months, and no, there's never been a check, nothing from Near West Side. It's like it's a black hole.
In the mail.
Does that help?
I will email Bill and Peter, and can I have your I do have your email. Can I copy you on it? So like, she's looking, like we're sending her to the mailbox for no reason. So Bill swears that he sent it. So I will just stop check and then reissue it and let's do it again. I'm like, we don't live that far from each other.
Thank you so much for following.
Okay, that's my only question. So you have not received it, and I'll follow up with an email.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve the treasurer's report? Nancy, is there a second? I can't hear people.
I second.
Thank you. Or should we take a vote to approve them? Okay, so approved. And there's not too many people left at this point, so I don't know if there's any issues from the neighborhoods in attendance that we want to go. Well, I'm kind of exhausted. I'm still recovering. So if maybe we'll by email figure out, I think it would be nice to have Kathy at the meeting and not be zooming in from Belize or wherever she is. So maybe we can.
Elizabeth has a question.
Okay.
Yes, in the chat, Mary Catherine Carmichael is talking about offering a Hopewell update at the June meeting.
And can somebody refresh my mind? What is
Hopewell? Mary Catherine Carmichael?
No, I know who she is. I don't know what Hopewell is.
Hopewell is the hospital. Old hospital site.
Oh, okay.
the old hospital site for June.
Yeah, that'd Mary Catherine, we'll discuss that at our executive committee. Can we get back to you about that?
Absolutely. Yes, of course. Thank you so much. I just wanted to offer.
No, that's a wonderful suggestion. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Ed, just make a comment. I was really pleased with this meeting tonight. I thought this was a model for our meetings ought to be in the future. People were responsive and interested and sincere. And I thought our speaker was outstanding. And when he couldn't say something, he had an offer to find out the answer. This was superb in my mind. And I'm really, really, really happy to say that I love this meeting.
And whose idea was it, Don?
I didn't control what people said.
No, and you did a great job.
Pat on the back.
Cynthia, you did a great job of keeping it on track.
Absolutely. Cynthia is a great leader.
Yeah, we'll talk at the executive.
Yes, thank you, Cynthia.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Do we want to move the executive meeting to a different date?
Yes. Yes, we do, but maybe we could do it by email because I'm really just about ready to. I can't.
That's fine.
Okay, I have one question before we shut her down for the night. So we have all these questions that I'm going to send to Ron. Do we have email addresses? Is there some way through Zoom to have everybody's email address so that I can send this out to all 23, 24 people that were involved tonight?
Well, we have the list. The people who probably aren't on the Kona email list are like city employees that we would know. Mary Catherine's on the list. DEFTA isn't, but easily could.
I think you should just send the answers out with the next month's meeting.
Okay. That's a good idea. Thank you. Thank you, Nancy.
Yeah, because that goes to the whole Google Groups list, which is a lot of people. Yeah. Even if they weren't here, they might like getting the answers. They can figure out what the question was because the answer will kind of tell it. So let's let everybody see this and see what they missed because they weren't here. But there was a lot that was pretty quite.
There you go. I'll just send it out.
Yeah, okay. Or we can discuss it at the executive committee meeting. Can somebody motion to adjourn?
I'll motion to adjourn. Thank
you. And
come on.
Okay.
Wimpy.
Great job. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.